I'll tell you what, if there was one thing that brought us together when our kids were teenagers, it was prayer. I mean, what parent doesn't need God to help them raise teenagers?
And it's true, it's fun, but there's a lot of scary things going on. And I don't know about you, but man, I felt this desperation to pray to God. And we want to help you if you're going through great things with your teens and hard things with your teens.
Yeah, so we've got a prayer guide to help you pray for your teens. You can go to familylife.com/prayforteens and download the prayer guide and get on your knees and start praying.
It's a free download too.
Again, familylife.com/prayforteens.
3 out of 5 girls feel persistently lonely or sad. And I've looked at what the world does to our girls these days and how it will chew her up and spit her back out, like it will. And so I think as I pray for my girls, my heart for them is just that they would first of all understand just how much God loves them, that they would understand that He wants to write a better love story for them than they would even choose for themselves.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. All right, we have Stacy Thacker back in the studio with us. It's a good day at Family Life Today. Should I get my guitar and play something?
No.
Oh, see? See how she said no to that?
Stacy's going to be talking about praying for teen girls. And we already talked.
I want to read something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Here's what Stacy opened the book with. It hasn't happened in a few years, mostly because of the current ages of my girls. But there was a day when we would all traipse into a grocery store or Walmart or something like that. And the four of them would trail behind me somewhat in age order. I'm seeing a little ducklings go across the invariably while I was putting one or two of them in the shopping cart and giving instructions to the others to stay close. Someone would say to me over the tops of their heads, "Are all these girls yours?" I would usually smile and say, "Yes, they are." At this point, the stranger among us would go into detail about how hard it is to raise girls and how they couldn't imagine having four. Right in front of my girls.
It's true.
I would like to tell you that this only happened once or twice, or that I didn't have to bite my tongue every time it happened, because I had a thing or two to say that I'd like to have said. True?
100% true.
Like how many times? Like a
lot? Multiple times. We would draw attention specifically because we were all girls. People would multiple times would come up and say things to us. And that mama bear would kind of come out of me where I would want to defend them and also wanted my girls to know that we are so thrilled that we have all of them.
Yeah.
We were never trying for a boy. It was never even in our discussion. It was just, we were just so grateful to have the children that God gave us. And we loved, I think I figured out about the second girl that we were only going to have girls. Mm. Like I just kind of knew, I think God had called me very early to disciple women. And I think I just kind of realized, oh, these are my women. These are the women that God wants me to disciple and raise. And so, but I would be so puzzled at their response about how hard their story was, but I didn't want my girls to feel like they were a burden.
Yeah,
in
right.
That moment.
Well done in terms of sticking up for your girls and saying, yeah.
I mean, if you
amazing.
Could have said anything you wanted to, what would it have been?
How dare you? I mean, honestly, in front of them, I think it communicated to them that there was something hard about just being a girl. And maybe that is true. I mean, maybe that's the way the world sees them. I do see that statistically with girls these days, but I just never wanted them to think that we got the second prize because we had girls. And that's what was communicated somewhat multiple times from different people
who felt
the need to tell us.
Yeah. We have friends that have 5 boys and they said the same thing would happen to them.
It happened
almost
to me.
Almost to the fact of like, you didn't really want that many. These were mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, like
you
wanted one or two, but come on.
This is my grind is when the end of the summer was coming and I'd be at the grocery store with all 3 and somebody would say, "I bet you can't wait for school to start." And of course, there is this part of you that knows like, okay, that will be a break. But I was always so offended because I would say, "I'm so sad."
Yeah.
Because to have these guys in my house all summer is one of the greatest gifts that I could have.
Yeah.
I want my kids to hear that I love them being around. And you did that for your girls too. Yeah. And it's, I'm not, we don't want to put a guilt trip on people that are thinking, this is super hard and yeah. I do want to get out of this phase. Or I do have all teenage girls and it's really emotional and hard. And we are not saying that it's not hard at times, mm-mm. but there's a beauty in it.
Yeah.
So coach sure. us up on how to pray for your teen girls. I mean, if we walk through your book, you start with how to pray for yourself. And one of the things I found interesting, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
That one's about transformation. That comes directly from the story about a man came to the disciples and his son was demon possessed. And I also, while doing research for this book, noticed that there are a lot of demon possessions in the Bible. Like, it's very common yeah. for parents to come and have this conversation. And there's no commentary on that. It's like, oh yeah, okay, that's logical. Not making any statements about that with the teenagers at all. But when this man comes and he's got this son and he's demon possessed and the disciples can't heal him. And then Jesus comes up and he says, what's going on? And they have a conversation. One of the things I love about that conversation is that Jesus says, how long has this been happening? Mm. And I think about that, how much that would have meant to that man for Jesus to say, hey, I see you. This is hard. Mm. And you've been carrying this for a long time. I would imagine in that moment that that man kind of teared up. Mm. Like, yeah, it's been happening since birth. And that Jesus just sat with him in that moment. And then he said, if you can help him, please help him. And Jesus said, if I can. If I can, anything is possible for him who believes. And he said that statement, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I think a lot of my prayer life sits right there. Mm. Lord, I know you can part waters. Lord, I know that you can calm the storm. I know that you conquered death. But these problems that we're having right now are so big. And so I believe, but help me believe it more and help me to believe that you do these things for me and my family and the season that we're in or what my girls are struggling against. Even just as I was driving here, I was thinking about some things my girls are going through right now and thinking, God, this is big stuff and I don't have any answers. So I believe, I've seen you move before. I have history with you, but God, I still have that thread that says, will you do it for me? Will you do it for my girls? So that's the heart of that prayer pep talk that you get in that second chapter, which is really about me trusting in the Lord and asking him to do what only he
can
do.
I like that,
your
prayer pep talk.
That's what they are. Nine prayer pep talks for you before you start praying. I need them. So I hope that it's encouraging.
Well, Stacey, I mean, I think every mom and dad needs them. Totally. When you're saying that, I'm like, oh my goodness. So every day. I believe, but help my unbelief, because there are times like, it may not even be unbelief, but it's like, I don't know what you want.
Yeah.
I hope this is what you want for my child, but I don't know how to even pray, but I'm going to pray and help me when I doubt, right?
And I think that's a prayer that the Lord loves to answer. Mm. And in that story, he does heal his son. And I think, oh, what a moment. But really what happened in that moment when that father admitted, hey, I brought him here. I came looking for you. Mm. But will you? Will you do that for us? Like, I just think it's such a beautiful moment that he sits in with the Savior and Jesus says, yeah, I can do that and more.
Well, and I love that you talk about, one of your chapters is called Lord, Pursue Her Heart. And you give some statistics in that. And even as you said, my girls are going through some big things. What are things, generally speaking, in these statistics, what's happening in girls' hearts right now? Yeah. Of why we should be praying.
Well, the statistics are startling. I think the statistic you're referring to is that 3 in 5 girls, now these are, you know, statistics that were taken a few years ago because the way statistics work, you don't get them like in the moment, but 3 out of 5 girls feel persistently lonely or sad. So I think girls, as we kind of stereotypical, will say a girl has big emotions or big feelings. I think in general though, girls as a whole are sad and they're lonely and they're anxious. Even more so, I think the statistics say that almost twice that of boy counterparts.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. 60% increase in the last 5 years.
In the last few years, I think there was a startling study out of UCLA that talked about how they had to add extra helplines at the UCLA hospital because of the suicide rate. So I think what's happening with girls is I think that they're sad and they're lonely, and I think they're comparing themselves to other girls that they think are so much better than them. And I think because they're struggling in that we see girls calling hotlines and those kind of things. And so it's terrifying for a mother It's terrifying to read those and to think, where are my girls on this? Or maybe my girls are right in the thick of that. And so I think that prayer of Lord, pursue her heart, is that I have always believed that if my girls really grasped how high and how wide and how deep God's love is for them, that they would understand that He wants to write a better love story for them than they would even choose for themselves. That we can look at social media and go, oh, girls are winning. They're doing great.
That's what I was gonna say. We're living in a culture where girls are being elevated. They can do anything. And yet, internally, they're like,
it's a very different story. And so I think as I pray for my girls, my heart for them is just that they would first of all understand just how much God loves them and that they would anchor themselves right there in that truth. I feel like if we can get that settled, that everything else will fall into place. Not easily necessarily, but I do think that we are in a time right now that's critical for girls to understand how God loves them, who they are in Christ, understanding their importance and their worth. I think a lot of girls are stuck in this idea that I have to produce something, I have to look a certain way. I mean, these are things we probably struggled with too, but the difference is, and not to harp on social media, but social media accentuates and elevates everything. It exaggerates everything. So when we were growing up, we may not feel like we compared to like a picture in a magazine, but now we have multiple images all day long in our face, looking at how we're supposed to look and feel and think and conquer. And I think girls are starting to realize, hey, this isn't realistic. And so what about me? Like, how do I live my life? And so I think, honestly, if you are a mom of a teen girl right now, your prayer is the best place to start because you're feeling overwhelmed somewhat as well.
So what else? I mean, you're going to get on your knees and pray specifically that because it's such a dilemma for these young girls. But what else can a mom or dad do?
Well, so much of my story really is relationship with my girls. We're a family that I would say lives life on top of each other. And the fact that we've done a lot of hard life together. And so we've done those years. I think if you're looking at a situation where maybe your girl's pulled away from you or you think, hey, that's not my story. I think starting with relationship first, you getting right with the Lord. You making sure that you are talking to Him on a daily basis and you're growing and transforming and asking God to grow in your faith, but then even making yourself available and opening up the door for your daughter.
What's that look like?
Well, I think first of all, you can admit, hey, you know, I'm not the perfect mom. I have my struggles and I know there's some things you probably wish you could change about me as your mom, but here we are, we're in this together and, you know, I want to start over. I want to start something new with you and just want to have a conversation. I'm looking for opportunities. One of the things that prayer does for me is it keeps my eyes and ears open. And the Lord is just bringing stuff to mind. He's putting things in front of me. He's bringing them to mind at certain times of the day. Hey, check on them, check in on them, listening to prompts and listening to what they're saying about their friends, things that happened at school, what's going on. They will give you clues. They may not give you the whole story initially, but those kind of things, what my prayer life is doing is it's helped keeping me sensitive to what's going on in their life and in their friends' lives.
Well, even when we talked the other day, you mentioned you guys have dinner together a lot. What are you looking for as you're having dinner together? I'm guessing your dinner table's pretty, like, has a lot of conversation.
Yeah.
But you're saying your ears are open.
Does your husband ever talk?
People always ask that in a girl household. Yeah, he is more of a quiet guy, but he usually kicks off the conversation. He will almost always say, okay, who had the best day ever? And so then we'll kind of descend from there. And then, you know, if it's not a best day ever, we might then go from there. But he's good about getting them talking, or he'll say, how have you been lied to today? And so we start picking across. I mean, that's a deep dive, right?
Give us some examples of what they've said.
Things like, oh, I saw an article online that said, you know, something and I didn't really believe it. Or, you know, someone, an artist that I really like said this or that kind of thing, or there was a news story or something like that, or I heard something at school, that sort of thing they would bring up answer that question. He usually has a reason he asked that because he's going to tell him what he saw. So he'll usually, if they pause, he'll say, well, let me tell you what I saw today. And so we'll have a discussion then as a family.
But I love that question, even for boys too. How have you been lied to today?
That's one to write down, parents.
Wow.
Seriously, if you've never asked that question, that would pop that one on your kids.
Because it's a good one.
They're going to have an answer.
Well, and so often with lies, it's just a tweak of the truth. Mm. Like it's like adjacent to the truth. It's just a little bit twisted. I mean, that's if we look at what happened in the garden, that's what happened.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. This is a lot like the chapter on May She See What Is True.
Yeah.
So go into that with that scripture.
So when the enemy approached Eve, he questioned, did God really say that? And when she tells him what God said, she misses it a little bit. She exaggerates the boundary and then she adds to it, right? Or, we can't touch anything or we'll die. Well, that's not what he said. It was just a little tweak. And as soon as she opens that door, he pounces. And then that's where the temptation falls. Mm. And so I think with our girls, one of the things we just want to make them aware of is that the lies and the enemy doesn't come at you usually real obvious. It's usually just a subtle tweak. You might have a hint of truth to it. So having those discussions, that's one of the things with family dinner has been important for us, is it gives us a chance to each get our eyes on each other and have those kind of conversations. I mean, it's not always that deep and rich and hard. Sometimes it's like, oh, Dad, it's just a normal day kind of thing, you know? But I think it's just opening up a conversation where they know they can ask those questions and they can be real.
Let me ask you, with daughters, and one daughter may say, like, this was really hard today. This is how I was lied to. Mm-hmm. Are there times when the other sister will kind of come alongside and you've seen that?
Yeah. Well, as a family unit, they have a great relationship. They all kind of gravitate to different, like, they have buddies within the four that, kind of gravitate. But we have some that are more, I would say, more truth tellers than others in the sense that they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's wrong, And then some of them be like, oh, I'm so sad that happened to you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's different kind of things happening all at once. But some of them are more truth tellers than others. But yeah, they'll come to their defense for sure and help them, I would say, right the ship. If the ship has gotten off course, they'll help them kind of get back to.
It's really sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, let me just pause and say this. Our financial partners are the heartbeat of this ministry. And when you join this monthly giving community, you're not just donating, you're building something eternal.
And we'd be so honored to have you on the journey with us. We really would. So here's the question. Will you join us today?
I hope your answer is yes. And if it is, go to familylifetoday.com. You can click the donate button right there and become a part of the monthly partner program.
So as I'm listening to you, Stacy, was there a time, have you always been this prayer warrior? Prayer was so important. Mm. What started you off on man, I have to be doing this for my kids?
That's a great question. I think some of us feel like prayer is a last resort. I'm going to do everything until I can't do anything else. And then I'm going to pray. And I have been, God has been very gracious to me to bring me to desperation very quickly in our family story. We went through a series of events in our family several years ago that repeatedly brought me to my knees. The first was my dad passed away in 2014, and we were very close. Watching my girls go through that in various ages, losing a grandparent was hard. It was really hard.
Was it unexpected? Or
he had battled cancer for years, but he died suddenly. And so it was really a huge loss. So he's been gone over 11 years, which is crazy to me. And so that was a hard season, and my girls were super close to him. He was a great grandpa. And so I watched them grieve that. About a year after my dad passed, one of my girls, right before she turned 10, was diagnosed with a severe chronic illness, which landed us in the hospital for about 8 days. And so that moment when she was in the hospital and we didn't know what was going on was a moment of desperation where I wrestled hard with the Lord. And having lost my dad and kind of sensing the Lord say, hey, do you trust me with your past? I was sitting at the side of my daughter and God was saying, do you trust me with your future? Do you trust me with your girl? I have to tell you in that moment, I don't know how I was answering that. I just knew that I needed him to come and come quickly. And so we walked through that season. It continues to this day to be a daily thing that we fight against and struggle with. But watching her and her sisters respond to a life-threatening disease that a child was going through, that'll make anybody desperate, right? Yeah. And for all of them too, wondering, why didn't I have that? And why does she? Am I going to get sick? That kind of thing, that kind of response. And then about a year later, my husband suffered a sudden cardiac arrest. And praise God, unbelievable miracle story, whole story in itself is that he survived. And so those three things, I will tell you, leveled me and showed me that I had to be on my knees for my family, for my girls, watching my girls walk through trauma, answering really hard questions. Prayer became for me a lifeline. And I will tell you to this day that one of the blessings of all of that struggle of those successive years was that through that time, God showed me that I could trust him, not only with my past and my future, but my family and facing impossible things. Saw him move in ways that were unbelievable miracle stories. So that's the blessing of coming through a trial and a trauma like that, is that my girls can look at our story and say, we've actually seen God do a miracle in our family more than once.
Was there, during that time, was there lament? Was there prayers that, you know, you just...
God, what are you
voiced
doing?
Out, man, I don't know what's going on. Help my unbelief.
Yeah, well, for sure. And I talk about this a little bit in the book, and I think about what our family's gone through. And I would have said at the time, no, like if I was in charge, no, yeah. No, Lord, we're not doing this again. In fact, people, when my husband went through his heart issue, people came and went like, what in the world? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I can't even believe this is happening to your family. Mm. And I remember at the time, like if I would have been in charge, I would have been like, nope, we're not going here. But what I've learned is that when you go through trials, it produces character and it produces endurance and it produces hope.
And those
things that it produces in us, like I see those things in my girls' lives and I think, okay, that's the fruit of the hard. It's funny when you say that about lament. I think I was lamenting, but I didn't have language for it. Yeah. I didn't know. I started at that time, previous to this, had written a book called Threadbare Prayer. And I wrote that whole book. I didn't even realize it was a lament book until later I had actually studied the process of lament. And I went, oh,
that's what I was doing
in those years. And so it really became a beautiful aha moment for me to be, oh, that's what I was doing and how sweet the Lord was in that time to really show me who he was.
I feel like that's so often true that when I meet a prayer warrior, they couldn't live without being on their knees. Like, I can't do this apart from you, God. And I feel like that same thing, like with each of our children, when they were born, they were all in the NICU. Mm. And the first one, I remember the doctor coming in saying, I think he has a skull fracture from the traumatic birth. And I remember him leaving. Dave had gone home for something and I was by myself in the hospital bed. And I remember that same kind of prompting of my spirit of God saying, can you give him to me? Mm. And when you don't know the outcome, that's a really scary question. Like, does that mean you want to take him? Does that mean he's mine? Does that mean there's going to be a decision? There's so many things that go through your head. And I wrestled with it.
Yeah.
Because I know God's good, but I don't want to walk through what that could mean. Mm-hmm. Number two child is born 6.5 weeks early. The doctor comes in, the same kind of thing. I'm like, seriously, Jesus? Mm-hmm. And so by the time number three and everything had gone great, I'm like, okay, finally, I've learned how to surrender this to Jesus. The doctor comes in again and says, hey, when we were bathing your son, he stopped breathing and we had to resuscitate him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, come on, come on, Lord. But each time I felt like, you know, it was that moment of Abraham and Isaac of putting him on the altar, of just allowing God to have them and realizing like, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but I can't do it without you.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
I think so much of our parenting, I know this is for me, is about control.
Yes.
And so I listen to your story and I think about from the get-go, God's going, you're not in control here.
I know.
Not to be cruel.
No.
But just to be like very clear here, he's mine or she's mine. And so, and I think about for me, so much of my prayer life has been me fearful and afraid.
Yes.
And as what prayer has done is it stops the spiral. It stops me from going crazy. And it begins to build my endurance to say, you know what? Just like you, like I'm guessing that you got there quicker by the third. When you had, you got back to where you needed to be with the Lord quicker than you did probably at the first or second.
Absolutely.
Because, oh, I've been here before. I have some history. I've walked this with the Lord. And so I look at my prayer life and I think, why would God call me to prayer? Because I am a control freak. 100% a control freak. And God is saying to me, sweetie, no, you do not hold the world together. That is my job. You don't even hold your family together. And also you don't hold yourself together.
And this is out of love. Like, honey, I'm going to do it for you.
Yes.
So you don't have to worry and stress about it.
Yes.
But
yes.
I still want to take
control. Yeah, but we think we're better. We know better, you know, we just.
No, we know we're not, but there's, what is that?
At times. But, you know, the thing is, you have older kids now. It doesn't end.
It doesn't
You think
end.
It's going to end. Like, oh, they're going to go off and you're done. You're like, nope, you never stop praying. And
you're always a parent.
Always.
Man, I think this time with Stacy has been so good.
And we get another day with her tomorrow.
I know. As we talked about praying for teen girls, I hope that you get this book. Go to familylifetoday.com. It's in the show notes. Just click the link and you can get it. And I think this would be really great if you have a small group of girlfriends and you have teenage girls. Get together and start praying this. Go through the book. Pray it together.
And be with us tomorrow as we go to day two with Stacy.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.